All right. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to come up and say how good God is, and I just love how he talks to us. And let me take these off so I can see you. So I love how God talks to us and just lays scriptures on our hearts. And I've had this scripture on my heart for a couple days. It's 1 Timothy chapter 6. The scripture that I've had on my heart is, godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. I'm going to read chapter 6, verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing. I beg your pardon. Verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. I thank the Lord that it's like it's been said, that we have peace, we have joy, we have contentment. When things are chaotic, we know who we serve, and we know that God is going to take care of us, and he's going to take us through these whirlwinds, these floods, whatever it is that's going on. I was praying, I think it was yesterday when I thought about this, and I was praying, and I was looking around, and I was looking at where we live. Now, if you come to our house, you a normal person, not a normal person, a person would come up and say, oh, they don't have very much. We were at a place a couple weekends ago, and the place is beautiful. I mean, there is nothing lacking. And if that same person came into our house, they would go, oh, my God, you poor thing. But we are content. We are happy with what we have. And it's not about material things. It's the condition of the heart. That we can be content wherever we are because we're serving God. We have the truth. We have the Holy Ghost. We've been baptized in his name. We have repented, and he allows us to repent. So we have contentment, and it doesn't matter what it looks like or what it seems like we have or we don't have. We're content. Anyone and everyone can have this. You can be content. Just serve the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Everything's been so perfect and convenient in the service today, and I feel that I'm right where I need to be in what I'm going to share with you for just a few minutes. It's easy to sing My Soul Says Yes, but it's something about saying yes. It's another story to give in to the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've seen so many people struggle over the years with just giving in and serving God, and they're so attached to misery and struggles of life and the storms and the winds, as the service has been said. They're so married to it that they can't let themselves be happy. We hope that you'll leave different than the way you came in today. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord, because it's available for you if you'll just allow your soul to say yes and not struggle with it. Matthew chapter 20. If you give me just a few minutes. Appreciate the testimonies and the things said. Things that have been in my heart as well, as you'll see. And we appreciate the good word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 20, beginning of verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. And when you have it, say amen. Amen. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, so you're talking noontime and about 3 PM, as it's interpreted, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man has hired us, he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour. So it was 6 in the evening, the work day was over, they'd only been there an hour, and they weren't happy about it. And you've made them equal unto us, which have borne or carried the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree? Didn't you agree with me for a penny? Take what is yours and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got so many different titles we could title this to stick in your mind, but I'd like to say something about attitude today. Don't lose heaven for a penny. Amen. Well, let me say it like this and add a different word there, Brother Dana. Don't lose heaven over a penny. Let's pray. Lord, help us today. And help me say just a few simple things that God will just be what needs to be said for this hour. You know who you're talking to. We know we're all going to get something out of it. But if it's just for one person, I'm praying that you'll just orchestrate this in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. You may be seated. And he's already orchestrating it. He's been orchestrating it through the music, through the testimonies, through scriptures read, Sister Judy, particularly one of them about contentment. Those verses you read today, I was thinking as well in alignment with this. And I almost called this, be content for a penny. Amen. And there's something here about attitude. How many have ever worked in a place where people got to share in what they make per hour? And bad idea. Very bad idea. It's one of the things ethically you should never do. Because usually there's discontentment. There are people who are never happy, especially when they find someone else making a little bit more than they do. And especially if the one making a little bit more just started and they'd been there for a few years. And, well, then this is for you today. We'll look forward to you in the altar, Sister Lynn, first. No. Praise God. I'm kidding. I'm having fun with her. She knows that. But we've all been there, and we've all been asked. At least I've been asked in times past and previous employments, you know, so what do you make? And I knew the last thing I wanted to do was to tell them what I made, especially when they just gave you like a buck raise or something like that. That's the last thing, because that's a very rare thing in corporate worlds. We've been in, I think the biggest I ever received was, that was average. But then there was once when I went to one particular job to a different thing that they were trying to hire for, and that bumped it up. I think one of it was a couple bucks an hour. But God took care of us, and I'm not saying that for any reason other than to say you just don't tell people that. Because there are usually at least one discontented in the crowd who are not happy. There's nothing worse. I don't care what the reason is. There's nothing worse than a rotten attitude. I don't care how good Sunday afternoon service is. If you allow your thoughts, as it's already been said, what's going on inside here, to go south, so much for all your worship. All you got to do is set it on the wrong thing. See the wrong thing. Let something of the past trigger you. I'm sure that eldest son in the story of the man with two sons, he was just fine in the fields that day. Until little brother came home. Little brother that took the inheritance and made the farm smaller and then wasted it on riotous living and harlots and all of that other stuff. But here he comes walking down that dusty road and father's running out to meet him. That did not give him a good day. All of a sudden his attitude had changed. Now, I can relate to this passage of Scripture because I work at an orchard and we have a vineyard. And I've worked in that vineyard and I've done pretty much everything in the vineyard you could do, from pruning the vineyard during the winter to setting the new branches on the wires for the next set of fruit that would be coming, that they're harvesting actually right now. We were grinding grapes yesterday. I've harvested the grapes. I've carried all the carriers that were laid out in the rows and stacked them all up into the van. I've delivered them to pallets and put them in the cooler. I've been there, so I understand this, and I know what it's like to start at 8 o'clock in the morning and leave there at 4:30 in the afternoon, a half-hour break for lunch, and then be back at it again, laboring, lifting, on your knees, going from one cluster of grapes to the other all the way down the row that could reach from here to the back door and further. So I'm feeling it with these laborers. I'm not agreeing with the attitude, but I'm right there with him when I read, because I know he's gone out there at, 6 in the morning and hired some people, gone out there, hired some people, gone out there and hired some people. And they're all working on the same day for the same wage. This message probably doesn't work well in America. Probably doesn't work even really well in New England. But the Word of God's right, whether it works well with you or not. Praise the Lord. Some of us, when we get converted, we got some lessons to learn after our conversion. It's great that we know Acts 2:38, and it's great that Acts 2:38 knows us. But there's things that we learn after Acts 2:38. And thank God we've got Acts 2:38 behind us, because it helps us when we face that 11th hour, and then at the end of the day, when everybody's getting a penny and you feel like you need to get more. Yeah. And it's you, the Holy Ghost-filled person, that's got the problem. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me just read verses. Maybe I should go to Psalm 23 and read it and be going. Go home here. Amen. I'm not here to say any one of us has a problem. I'm just saying don't miss heaven over a penny. Praise the Lord. It's not worth it. I learned early on the best thing I could have about myself is a good spirit about me. Because there's plenty of stuff around about me that could cause my spirit to not be so good. And you're right. We can get into those moments, as I was saying before, where people, you know, want to ask you. And usually the content never ask what you make for an hour. It's the discontented. I've never had anyone who's content with what they made ask what I make. They don't care. They're happy. Yeah. They're not looking for a reason to be unhappy. Look, we've met people who've come to church who just are so in communion with finding reasons to be miserable. And you know, if that's your way, I feel so sorry for you. Why do you come here? I'm not saying don't come to church. I'm just asking, why do you come here and you sit there miserable with people worshiping all around you?
Thank you, Lord.
I'm just here to talk about attitude a little bit today, because we're taught in the Word of God to be content with such things as you have.
Yes, sir.
With food and raiment, right? Therewith be content. And didn't Jesus tell the soldiers, be content with your wages? Or maybe it was John when they were coming to the baptism. He said, be content with your wages. Why? Because, well, there are people who are murmuring and not happy about what they're making being a soldier. And what does the Word of God come and do? The Word of God didn't come and say, you know, you're right. You're worth more. You know, they owe it to you. That was like, that's Occupy Wall Street back in 2011, right? They didn't know why they were there, but everyone's arguing against the rich people because they weren't rich and they were. And you owe it to us. People get so stupid. Nobody owes you anything other than a kick in your Rumpelstiltskin for such a bad attitude. But I came to church to hear a good gospel song and feel good. Well, you heard 4 or 5 already. What's your problem now? And if that's not going to work, then a sermon just might come and help you out a little bit more. You ever have a parent? You ever hear a parent? Let me say it like this. Stop my brain for a minute. You ever hear a parent tell a child, sit up, get that frown off your face? Amen. I'm not quite doing that today because it doesn't work. But I'm here to try to encourage you not to miss heaven over your attitude. That's why we're taught love one another. Look, I don't care. If the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket, it doesn't mean you have to go with it. And it doesn't mean it has to affect your attitude, because it is. Everything may be coming out of the closet and saying, accept us. We are ungodliness at its best. But it doesn't mean that I have to become so involved with what's coming out of the closet these days and be hateful and malicious and bent out of shape. You're right. What was being said earlier, the world needs to be attracted by our worship and by our good attitude and by our godliness with contentment, which is great gain, which is not just for us, but that gain is for them. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Because they're so used to being discontented and unhappy. They need to meet somebody who's happy, even if they only have a little. Because a little, it's not about what you have. Even Jesus taught that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of what he possesses. A man's life is more than raiment and more than meat. So why wouldn't he teach us to be content with such things? But it's mankind that makes life based upon raiment and food and house and material things. And a lot means you're something. But we've all met people who have a lot, and they're an idiot. You don't want to be around them. You don't want to know them. You don't want to go out to lunch, and please do not buy me an iced tea. I don't want it from your hand. I would rather get it from a wino who's got an extra few bucks, and who's just happy to see me and happy that I paid attention to him. I'd be in better company. All right. I'm going to try to get to a sermon here. Don't lose heaven over a penny. Don't lose heaven over your brother coming home either. See, we all, right now we can read it, but I guarantee, I can tell you this for myself, certain people walk through that door, I might have a problem. I hope I don't. I hope I've gotten rid of it all in prayer and just, look, this has been a great church, because anytime anyone, and I'm being slightly funny here, but we know when people come in, we're happy to see them, we're ready to get around them, we're ready to see them in the altar and confess their sins and stop being stupid and just get in this thing with all their heart, no matter how much pain they have caused. But I'll have memories when I see certain faces, and I might have to confront the older brother in me. And remember how much they ill-treated our late pastor. And I might have to fight through those emotions. Maybe not. I hope not. And I'm not bitter, and I don't have this ounce of bitterness tucked somewhere in a nice file cabinet somewhere so that it all resurfaces. I'm saying we all have memories. We all have a choice as to whether or not, when that hour comes and we see them get a penny after what they did to him, that you want to just walk up and just kick that penny out of their hand. Now, I'm imitating some things I've seen from some of you and feeling things that I felt for me. Yeah, I've wanted to throw the pulpit at some people over the years. Literally, we can. It's mobile. Because, not because I hated anybody, because of the evil. But that doesn't justify me losing heaven over a penny. Over a situation. I'm not justified being angry and sinning and letting anger cause me to become discontent in a moment just because of. Right. No matter what's happened, no matter how many blunders, no matter what others are doing, it's not about them at the end of the day. It's about the fact that you've got a penny coming to you. Don't lose the penny because you've got a bad attitude. Right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let's love him a moment here. Praise God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope I'm making sense here today. I'm not saying anyone here has a bad attitude. I'm saying if you have to go looking for stuff to be discontent about, you have an issue. You don't need a shrink. You don't need a pill. You need prayer. You need to break through and learn how to look for contentment. Amen. instead of look for things that cause you to be discontent. That's why we've said in times past, once in a while, turn off the news. It's not exactly like they're out there talking about the dude that helped the old woman across the street and the guy who found the lost puppy, like it's all encouraging news. It's not. And if your life, whatever you're feeding yourself, if it's causing discontentment, change your diet. Yes, sir. Amen. All right, let's go back to this for a moment. Isn't it amazing how the Lord, with him, there's no respecter of persons? But with humanity, we have respect of persons. We size things up based upon what we see. We would say yes, no. But the Lord, he'll hire anybody. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Your idol in the marketplace, you just say, well, what do you? Reminds me of Main Street in Charlestown growing up, because there's always that next generation of young people hanging out on Main Street with nothing to do. And we went back years later, and even after Carolyn and I were married, we'd drive. I said, let me go down Main Street. I want to show you something. Sure enough, been like 7 years had passed since we had left. No, more than 7 years. We married 96, almost like 10 or so years. And we go through and on our way to my brother's house on the other side of town. And there they were, a new generation. They were like this big when we left, but now they're this big and they're hanging out on Main Street. What about nothing to do? Well, they were getting, yeah, there's probably some things they were doing, not the right stuff. But it always posed the question in my mind, you're young people. What are you doing hanging out on a street corner just hanging around? Doing what? So the goodman finds people like that and says, well, what are you standing idle for? Go into my vineyard. I got something for you to do. Go to work. Boy, this is maybe we need to be preaching this in today's hour, Brother Rick. Man, I tell you what, where I work, there are times over the few years that I've been there that we've seen some, let me say this nice so that I don't get in trouble for saying it. Let's just say I've seen young people and love them all and good to see them, but some just had this sort of attitude problem. And they didn't quite understand the opportunity that they had in their hand. And it's kind of like, you ever notice in young people that kind of like, wish I was staring at my smartphone instead, home playing video games. The idea of why they're there just wasn't there. But my question is, why are you here then? You know, why'd you sign up for the job? When you want to call out, you just showed up. Was it mom and dad that just want to boot you out of the house saying, you need to get a job? I don't know what was behind it, but based upon attitude, it's about attitude. So let me just stop for a minute and just say, attitude is everything. Attitude affects your outlook on life. It affects what's in your hands, what's not in your hands. It determines whether or not that job that you just got, that, okay, maybe it's paying you only $7 an hour, but it's a job. It's a job. My very first job was 2 1/4 an hour. I was 12. I was being paid under the table. I don't ever remember thinking, man, I should be making $10 an hour. Folding your newspapers and cleaning your countertops, wiping the glass, $2.25 an hour. What's the matter with you? No, in the early 80s, I didn't say that. I just thought to myself, my God, I got money, my money. I don't have to ask for money. I got my own money. I can go down and get a pizza. I can buy a half gallon of ice cream for $1.29. It's all mine. That was my attitude. We come from a different world, some of us in our generations, where you worked hard, you watched your parents work hard, you appreciated work, you were taught to work, that it was the right thing to do. There's something lost in today's world where I think we have a whole lot more idle people hanging on the street corner that this goodman of the house can find. Praise God. The problem with some of our day is that they don't want to work even for a penny. Praise God. All right, let me get off of that. So he goes out, and he agreed with every one of them for a penny. He sent them into his vineyard, and he went about the third hour, 9 a.m, went out again, saw others standing idle in the marketplace. Some of us were those idle people, serving sin, walking in ungodliness and unrighteousness, and yet no matter how filthy we were, he said, I'll hire you. I got a place for you. hey, it's nice to remember that when you look at this life and you see all the ungodliness that's around us, you remember such were some of you. But now you're washed. And if I'm washed, if I'm justified, if I'm sanctified, they can be too. Praise the Lord. I don't want what I see that doesn't go my way to change my attitude. I've got to have a good attitude. Praise God. I want a good attitude. I want to be in the church house with a good attitude. I want people to meet me and have a good attitude. I want them to want to be what I am. Praise God. I want them to want to go to my church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's why we say if you don't have a good attitude, pray. If you're coming from a long day at work and your attitude stinks, then stay out in that car and pray. Put on a worship song and pray a while. Praise God. Hallelujah. If life makes you discontent, prayer will change that in a jiffy. Amen. All right. I'm finishing. Go ye also into in the vineyard. I'm so glad he invited me into his vineyard, Brother Bradley. Sister Melody, I'm so glad he said it was okay for me to go. There might have been others that were idle in that marketplace. It didn't say that everyone that was idle went. They might have said, come on, Harry, hang out with us. But somewhere along the way, some idle worker in a world of sin said, you know, I'm tired of hanging out on the street corner. Praise God. I want to go to work. Thank you, Jesus. Go into the vineyard, and whatsoever's right, I'll pay you. We know the whole story. And in verse 7, let me just say something here in verse 7. They said unto him, because he asked the question, why are you here idle all the day? All the day long? I mean, it's the 11th hour. They're still out there. Kind of reminds you of people standing out there at the ready place. Used to watch them, see them out there all day looking for a job. I mean, thank God that they were hovering where any opportunity, they were waiting to jump at it. No man, we're here because no man had hired us. Those other churches, they just keep overlooking us. Nah, I don't want them in my church. Jesus said, I want you in mine. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you in my church. I shed blood because I want you in my church. Thank you, Jesus. He's Jesus with a good attitude. You can't approach Jesus with a good attitude, with a bad attitude, and leave with a good attitude, a bad attitude. Or you shouldn't. I mean, if you hang out with Jesus, he's got to rub off on you and make you appreciate your penny. That's right, we're Pentecost. Hallelujah. We're Pentecostal. Yeah. Amen, amen. But our reward is great. How many know that? Amen. Even if somebody gets converted and 1 hour later he ends the world, they get the same reward we do. Oh, hallelujah. Let's love him today. Let's love him today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Turn off. Praise God. Isn't that amazing? They get the same reward. See, I don't think any of us would have a problem with new people coming to church because we're not trying to, what we don't want to be is a church that says, well, you haven't been sitting here for 30 years and you haven't been here as long as I have. And you know, you shouldn't be singing as much as somebody else should be singing because they've been here longer than you have. I'm glad none of that stupidity exists here and it won't exist here. Praise the Lord. But what we'll do instead is we'll take all of that experience in the vineyard, praise God, and we'll pour it out to them. Hallelujah. We'll pour it out to them. We'll teach it to them. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Why? Because I don't want to miss heaven over a penny, somebody else's penny. Praise God. By being discontent for mine, the reward is the same, everlasting life. Whosoever believeth on him shall have everlasting life. Amen. It didn't mean extra everlasting life for me and a little extra for, you know, the bozo that showed up at the last minute and decided to be, you know, one of those deathbed repentance people. Right. Wanted to live it up all their life, but finally come to God when, you know, the oxygen tank's hooked up to them. Guess I got a little personal there. I don't want a bad attitude. Amen. I just want that penny. I'm content for that penny. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. Great gain. I don't want to be in finishing here today. I don't want to be the prodigal son. Amen. Unhappy about brother coming home. Bad attitude. I've been here all these years with you. That's what he told Pop. I've paid my tithes. I've swept the church and I've cleaned the toilets. I've wiped down the glass on the back doors. I've been here. That's what we don't want. Let's stand today so that you don't stare at me. Hate being stared at. No. Amen. I'm done. That's why I'm stopping. I hope you understood the message today. I could go many different ways and talk about a lot of stuff, but the message is right there for all of us to see. Somebody who started at 6 in the morning had a problem with a dude who started at 5 in the afternoon. Praise God. But you know what? You were promised the same thing he was promised. Get over yourself. Let's love him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. King of righteousness, blessed be your holy name. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Can we have another song before we leave in closing? It's not about the stuff. It's not about the penny. It's about the attitude. And let's continue to remember that as we go through life. And yes, we face those moments where something shows up that brings back the memories. I've said some things, Brother Bradley, in recent years past. Even if that person comes back to church, they'll never. They'll never have their hands in this. They'll never touch that. Might let them testify. What harm can they do? And you know, you have to get over that. You have to, because you're in the wrong. They may be wrong, but it's fine. If they're wrong, they made themselves wrong. It doesn't mean I have to be wrong because of them. Right. I'm not going to hell for anybody. Right. I'm not going for myself. I want to obey God, but I'm not going to allow something to make me unthankful and discontent with what I have. Because what we have all individually is great. And I just can't miss heaven over that. Praise the Lord. Let's have a song here today. That'd be okay, Sister Gloria and Clan.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
With thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving.